Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Advent Light Ministry, and let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we come before you, Father, our God, our Savior, the Holy Spirit. We thank you this day, Father, for the prayer line. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessing to continue to bless us on this prayer line. We are brothers and sisters that stand firm, Father, united together, Lord, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are united, and you have given us an example that we should have that example like the Godhead. Stand united. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this prayer line. I'm thanking you, Father, for being united with my brothers and sisters, and the Bible tells us to be divided, that we will not stand. You see, a house that is divided, it can't stand. So, Father, this house that with my brothers and sisters, Lord, let us stand and be ready for your soon coming. And now, Lord, as we are to join on this prayer line, the brothers and sisters to come, Father, put in their heart to press one, to share, to just tell the goodness of what God has done for them this week. Because there may be someone on this prayer line that need to hear the encouraging words. So thank you so much, Father, for these blessings. And we also ask you, Father, Lord, to bless the speakers, bless my sisters and brothers that will sing, that will just a second, let me make sure I'm not on mute. I don't know if everyone can hear me. Let me make sure. I'm sorry. I need to make sure I'm not on mute because I see someone trying to call me. Amen. I'm not on mute. Amen, brothers and sisters. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the brothers and sisters as we are on this prayer line, thanking you Father, for the prayers that we are lifting up. Thanking you, Father, for testimonies and everything that will be said according to your will. Now, Lord, as we start the prayer line, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us and lead and guide us on the prayer line. And may someone get some understanding. May someone learn tonight, Lord, in what you would have us to do. Now, Lord, we thanking you. Bless us and keep us as we are studying, as we are joined together, as one people for God. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for coming on and join us tonight. And I welcome all my brothers and sisters on this prayer line, because truly God has blessed us here and given this line that we can come and worship him together. And I have a few of my brothers and sisters will share some reading, and also there will be some that share some songs. And then I'm going to open your line after you share your reading, your songs, and you know how we work in this. We are working together and getting our brothers and sisters involved in that each one can do some reading, praying, testimony, songs, all this we want to, because you know, as God has called for Moses, don't you try to do it all. Give some work to some others. Let everybody be involved. So let us give God the praise, honor, and glory. So yet we're going to open the line for first for Brother Rick. He will share the reading. Amen. So Brother Rick, your line is open. Brother Rick will be reading from 1 Samuel 28, 3 through 17. And our topic tonight, I got something that is the spirit of the dead. We're going to look into and study tonight what God is showing his people. So, Brother Rick, you may go ahead and read. Begin. Amen?
Amen, sister. Thank you so much for opening my line and for hosting the prayer line tonight. And our scripture reading again is 1 Samuel. Chapter 28, verses 3 through 17. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto you. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Amen, sister.
Amen. And I tell you, Brother Rick, there was some mistakes that Saul made. When Saul had said, brother, he said, he inquired, and she said, wherefore then layest thou, she said, thou lay a snare for me, after Saul had inquired of her, because he used to put those people to death. He didn't treat them right. And because you know what? That's when he knew the Lord. But when he did what he did, disobeyed God, those spirits began to take over him. And one more thing, Saul, he said, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And you see, and she told him, and he told her, but this would got to me. Saul thought it was Samuel, where it said in 14, he thought it was Samuel. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face bowed to the ground. And don't you know, he worshipped the devil? Oh, my.
Amen.
So Saul had given himself over to Satan, totally. So Sister Brenda was supposed to read something. And she's not on yet. And she was supposed to read. She was trying to call me, but I don't know what happened. But I will read it. It's coming from Ecclesiastic chapter 9. This is what God says. Give me just a second. Okay, that was Sister Brenda, brothers and sisters, trying to call me, telling me she don't have it yet. But I was going to look it up. She was going to read Ecclesiastes chapter, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5. And I don't know if she's going to come on time, but we don't want to keep, let me find it. So as we see how Saul was seeking after Samuel, and Samuel was dead. God said, we don't seek the dead. So, and we don't talk to no dead people. So I'm trying to get, Ecclesiastic. Give me just a second. Sister Brenda is not on. I'm trying to wait for her. Okay, she's on. Oh, no, that's not Sister Brenda, Sister Powell. So I'm going to read Ecclesiastic chapter 9 and verse 5 because God tells us. Okay, Ecclesiastic chapter 9 and verse 5. It said, now there, 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. So when Saul went to seek Samuel, and Saul knew Samuel was dead, And this is the thing that the spirit in this world are seeking after things today. And you know, as we call Easter Sunday today, what are they seeking? It's things that not of God. It's spiritualism. And we got one more scripture to share. One more scripture. We're going to go to the New Testament. And I thought Sister Brenda would be on, but I'm going to give Sister Tamika, I'm going to open her line. She's ready to share. But sisters and brothers, we are talking about the spirit of the dead. So we're going to open Sister Tamika's line right now. 272, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Good evening, Sister Leona. Can you hear me?
Amen. Your song is not ready. If that's what you are raising your hand, we're not ready for you to sing the song. But you can share and give your testimony if you like.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm here with my brother Peter from my Seventh-day Adventist Church in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So I'm so grateful he came over to spend time with me today and read the word and listen to the word on the screen of the end. So I'm so grateful. And we went outside and we were talking to the people and placing the steps to Christ and the Amazing Facts little pamphlets and brochures. So I'm so grateful that we spend time with the Lord today. It's such a blessing. And I just wanted to read the scripture in Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. And I just give the Lord praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. He takes such good care of us. So it's such a blessing to be alive and knowing that our Lord loves us all with an everlasting love. Amen. Psalms 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations." Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Peter, would you like to say hello to the brothers and sisters on the panel?
Hello, everyone. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
You have a prayer,
brother
Peter? Yes. For my good health.
Amen.
And success.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Thank you so much.
Amen. I have prayer requests too, my dear Sister Leola. My prayer request is for to lift up. Oh, thank you, Sister, so much. My prayer request is to lift up everyone on the prayer line this evening, and praying for my children and my grandchildren. I'm lifting up my church family as well. They need prayer, and I want to lift up you, Sister Leola, and your husband, Brother Ray, and your children, Nicole and Jarvis, and praying for Sister Powell, praying for Sister Stephanie and her precious Jews, KJ and Kaja, and praying for Brother Rick, who was just on the line, and your sister as well, Sister Brenda and Brother John. So I'm praying for every single person and just showing love that the Lord will bless, guide, and keep each and every one of us. And may the Lord always watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, sister.
Amen.
Thank you for opening up my line. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Love you, too. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika. And we thank the brother that was sharing his request and his prayers. So, yes, brothers and sisters, I didn't thank Brother Rick. Brother Rick had read 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3 through 17 on the opening. And this was the call Saul called up the spirit of Samuel, and we was reading how he just was disobedient to God, and he began to get these spirits and began to do things to disobey God. And so what happened? He began to fall to the devil's hand. So as we read how Saul called on the witch of Endora, and she told him, "Why did you call me?" So, and Saul told her why he called him. So, brothers and sisters, we wanted to read one more scripture. Sister Brenda was supposed to read this scripture, but we're going to open Sister Brenda's line. Sister Brenda, well, that scripture had to be read, and I was going to give you another scripture, but it's going to take too long. So you can just give your prayer request or your testimony and your prayer request. You can go ahead, my sister. Amen.
Okay. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank you, Lord, for us waking up today and being able to give our testimony, being able to come on this prayer line. I thank my beloved sister for praying for us, and I would like to pray for our Advent Life family too, and for all my brothers and sisters, lift them up in prayer. Lift her and her family up in prayer. May the Lord bless them and keep them, and watch over every last one of us, and pray for our mother in this prayer, and keep her in health, and just bless her. Amen. Okay, I have a prayer. Dear God, I pray for us. And I pray for myself, and I pray for my fellow believers that we will continually grow in the knowledge of who you are, Lord, and that we will receive wisdom from your Holy Spirit and apply it in our lives accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thank the Lord for his courage and words. I was trying to make sure I put us in it, and it already had it written for me. So I thank the Lord, and that's the way I wanted to read it. And it already was written, and he wrote it the way it was supposed to be. So I thank God it was for me and my beloved brothers and sisters on his prayer line. And just ask for prayer for each and every one of us, and we pray one for another. And I just want to thank God that we made it in this circle today. And just ask the Lord to pray for the homeless, the sick, and all the ones who, wherever they may be. And God bless each and every one. Amen. Brother John.
Yes, I'd like to say hello to everyone. It's Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And I'd like to say that hope everyone's having a blessed evening or night or morning, whatever time of the day it is for you, and you're part of the world, in other words, I'm trying to say. And like my wife said, we'll give prayers to the ones who are in need of prayer and everything, and also to Jarvis. I want to say that I want everyone to give a prayer out for Jarvis too, because he is, by knowing him, he's a very intelligent young man, and he's brilliant, you know, because he's like a chef. He got chef skills of cooking and a very good worker from what I've heard, the job he had, and he just got a lot of brilliance. You know, he's very, very smart and intelligent, and he's a very, very good person, good-hearted person, too. So I just want to say to everyone, would like for everyone to get prayers for him, and that he'll come around and do better in his life like he once was before, you know, just to be a phase he's going through. That's what I'm praising, that his phase will be gone and he'll come back around and God will, you know, take care of him. And so prayers go out for him. And like I say, in the ones who's in need of prayer. And I just want to say the whole prayer line that, like my wife said, you know, just send a prayer out for the prayer line and thank God it's still going strong after so many years and still teaching us, and because I'm steady learning a lot from it, and the help-wise and just spiritual-wise and things like that. And it looks like the more I listen, the more I learn. And like you said in the Bible, I'm still learning the Bible words and the things about it. So, but I know that God said, you see, knock and the door shall be opened, seek and he shall find, ask and it shall be given to you. I'm hoping I'm saying it right. I know I'm pretty close as the scripture is written. I know I'm pretty close, or maybe I was exact on it, but anyway, God bless. Amen.
Amen. Brother John, you were pretty close with it. So, you know, don't worry about getting everything perfect, but brother, you almost there. You got it. So praise God, brothers and sisters. We have never heard Brother John bring a scripture like that. So we are giving God the praise. So thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. I know, Sister Brenda, I'm sorry I gave it to you about a couple of minutes before the prayer line opened, and you probably wasn't ready. So I'm just thanking you for the effort and for you all coming on to share with us. And also, brothers and sisters, I just want to thank Brother Rick for reading that scripture for me, because I didn't get a chance because Sister Brenda was calling, and she called me a couple of times, so I wanted to answer that right quick and come back. So I'm just grateful to what the Lord is doing. So as we've been looking at that scripture about Samuel calling up the spirit of the dead, we know what Christ said. And that's Revelation chapter 20, and that's Revelation chapter 20 and verses talking about, let me get my scripture again. And I wanted to read it. Oh, it was 12 and 13. But I'm going to open up the line for my brothers and sisters, and I'll read that scripture later as we are continuing. So let us open the line for 423-635. Your line is open, and I can read that scripture later. Amen? You can give your name where you're calling from.
Yes, hi, good evening, Cecilia, and everyone, good evening. This is Sister Carla. I'm calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love. I was able to take the children to the airport this morning, and I got a call, and they arrived safely in Los Angeles. So I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love, and journey mercy for them. And while they were out here, just going sightseeing and going to the different natural park, it was a blessing. And I was talking to the Lord, oh, I need to walk more, I need to exercise more. I was keeping up with them, but it was some kind of hiking. You gotta climb up and down because we went to see waterfalls and different stuff. But it was beautiful. It was a blessing. They enjoyed themselves. And I would like to share Psalms 115, and I'll start at verse 13, Psalms 115. It said, he will bless them that in small. The Lord shall increase you more and more, and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord. But the earth has he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that goes down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So we see there the dead doesn't praise God. They can't bless God because the dead know nothing But while we're still alive, while we have breath in our lungs, we should be praising the Lord, and we should be thanking him for all his goodness. I was watching a documentary about the Latter-day Saints, and it was just, I didn't know much. I don't know much about them, but there was a great cathedral that they built, and they have a baptism, and it's like something about for the dead. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. And then they believe when you're married, it's forever. It's after dead, you're still married, and we know that there's no marriage in heaven. There's so these people have a lot of doctrine that are not godly. So let us continue to stay faithful and true to the Lord, and read and take heed that we not be lost or drawn away with every wind of doctrine. Thank you again, Sister Leola. I'm driving down to work. God bless.
Sister Carla, thank you for that scripture, because some Latter-day Saints came to my house when I was living in New Orleans. I invited the young men. Don't you know those young men is going to and fro out in the communities, and they don't usually have nothing to eat? So I asked those young men, I said, have y'all eaten anything today? They said, no, ma'am. I said, y'all have had, you need some water? So I cooked, and I said, well, why don't y'all come on in and get you something to eat? You should have seen the young men. They ate that food, and they thanked me, and I'm like, you know, God get the glory, you know. But when I shared with them about the Latter-day Saint is the one that's Jesus, got Jesus or something. I believe they are the one.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Okay, they are the one, yes. And they was offering me a Bible, but I sit them down and I shared the gospel with them. And, you know, they was just very young boys. You know, they send those young children out there, and they send them out there with no food. And it's just sad to see in all this unbelief, all this stuff that they are believing. And for some reason, the Lord is calling us. And, you know, with the word we have, brothers and sisters, sharing this gospel with the people about the state in the dead, these people don't know. So many. And thank you, Sister Carla, for raising that question. Because when I see a Latter-day Saint again, I will definitely share some more things with them. So let us pray for them, and that we can share the gospel with them. So thank you once again, Sister Carla, for sharing that. Amen. And we're going to open the line for the next caller. It's 518-951. Your line is open. Amen.
Okay. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line. Thank for the visitor, believe Brother Peter. We welcome you tonight on Advent Light, and we do hope that you will enjoy the program. God bless. Yes, my dear beloved, I came on the line, and I heard you was reading about the dead. We know that's going to be just as how Saul with Samuel, rise up Samuel, this is going to be one of the greatest deception that the devil is going to use on the second coming of Christ, and we do know that. But thank God that God have given us his word to let us know that the dead do not know nothing. When you're dead, you know nothing. And as it read, said earlier, the dead will apparently appear. Sure, because Satan is going to do that. It means that the devil will personate departed saints, your loved one, and sinners, so that they will appear to have returned from the dead. And that is what Satan is going to do in the last days. And it is not difficult for the evil angel to represent both saints and sinners who have died and make these presentations visible to human eyes. So human eyes, just like our Saul with Samuel, and you know what? That took place with Saul, and you know what? He feels that he brings up Samuel, and it was Samuel. So that is going to be the same thing that the devil is going to use in this last day. to bring up our loved one, our mother if our mom die, our father, our auntie and that, and said that is them. But we know that it is not them. We know that it's spiritualism, and we know that the dead know nothing. It said these manifestations will be more frequent, right? Frequent, and development of more staggering character will appear as we near the close of time. And this is Evangelism 604, paragraph 3. It said, it is Satan's most successful and fascinating delusion, one calculated to take hold of the sympathies of those who have laid their loved ones to the grave. Evil angels come in the form of these loved ones and perform acts which they perform while living. So Satan is going to use our loved ones to do things so that, you know what, while they were living, they were doing those same things. So now they die, you know, Satan is going to personate that. But in this time, they lead person to believe that their dead friends are angels hovering over them and communicated with them. These evil angels who assume to be their deceased friends are regarded with a certain idolatry, and with many their world has greater weight than the word of God, and we find that in last day event. So my dear beloved brothers and sisters, we know that that is going to be one of Satan's sneer in the second coming of Christ. But let us continue to read and study God's word, that the dead know nothing. Just as what they will say when your loved one died, that the loved one gone to heaven to with Jesus, nothing like that. When your loved one die, the breath of life go back to God. Whether that loved one is a sinner or a Christian, it go back. And that dead one, the breath of life go back to the Lord. But the only time the dead will be in the grave, the body is in the grave, it will be in the grave. It doesn't know nothing. And only when Jesus comes, as he said, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise and change and caught up to meet the Lord. So we are thankful to God that he had given us these revelations, both in the Bible and in our word from the prophetess. And we know that we have a work to carry out to teach others out there, because this is going to be one of the great deceptions in this last days. Continue to pray for us, Sister Leola, that God will use us so that we can share this message. Thank you.
Amen. And Sister Powell, as Brother Rick just read this chapter from 1 through 18, you know what Saul did? He actually said, the woman said, who you want me to bring up? He said, and bring me up Samuel. And then when that woman saw that, when he said, bring me up, she said, you deceived me. And then you know what? But when she brought up Samuel, Saul bowed he stooped down and bowed his face to the ground. And he didn't even recognize he bowed his face to the devil. Sisters and brothers, the Bible is trying to teach us something. Do not seek the familiar spirit. Do not have no one read your palm, because it is the devil. And if you allow anyone to do that to you, don't you know you are worshiping the devil? And that is a sin. Now, God is writing these down in the book. Please, that don't let that be named amongst our brothers and sisters. And let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little testimony. We have no one press one yet. When before I got married and to Ray, but this was in 2000. I believe I told Brenda this. This was in 2000. And I was living in Houma at that time. There is a woman coming out of Walmart. I looked back to get some, make sure I had nothing. And this woman was coming out the door, And I was going into Walmart. I hadn't gotten to her yet. I was about, I'm estimating about a block and a half from her. You know a block, how you go on a block? I was about a block and a half from her. And she saw me coming, and that woman said, oh, I see good things. I see good things. She told me, I said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, I don't do that. I said, the Lord do not, that is not of God. And she said, oh, can I read your poem? I said, no, ma'am. I said, that's not of God. No one read anything. I said, I know what God had for me already. Yes, I had to rebuke her because she was very adamant about reading my poem. And sisters, and all I can say, people, the devil going to come at you like that. Rebuke him. Get away from them, because that is a sin going to be written on a book, and you don't want that in your in the book, and that you got to know that is one thing. So the Bible tell us, you know, once you accept it, you don't know how far you're going to go. So Saul stooped down, and he worshiped the devil. He thought he was worshiping the good man. The prophet saw Samuel, but he was not. It was the devil talking to him. So, and this is the scripture. I'm going to read this, and we're going to go into a prayer. I'm going to ask any Brother Rick. I know he did not share. I will open his line because he read the scripture. And I'm reading Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. You see, brother and sister, I hadn't read all this. And you see what God is trying to tell us? That what was written in that book, if you have looked, and you know, right now, we still have breath in our body. We can go to God sincerely in prayer, ask him for forgiveness if you have ever partake in anything like that. But there's no small sin, no big sin. Sin is sin. But if you have done anything, repent, because the Bible says in that book, the dead was judged. So you see, a lot of people say, well, I'm dead. I don't know nothing. I ain't going to know nothing. No, no, no. The Bible says that the dead going to be judged. And we're going to know what's written in that book, what I have done. You're going to already be guilty of your sins. And I'm going to continue to read this. And it say, out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their work. So by God's grace, we don't want to partake in no Easter, no Christmas. We don't want to partake. Don't you know, sisters and brothers, Mother's Day is a holiday that is of the enemy, the devil. He brought every holiday into the church, Mother's Day, Father's Day. All these days is not about Christ, because Christ said, if I be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. So Christ want to be lifted up. He don't want you to lift up your mother and your children and all this here. Only time we lift it up is in prayers, because he say he's the interceder. He is our advocate. He goes to God for us, just like if you get a lawyer. So just remember. So we thank God, and let us go into prayer. But before we do that, we're going to have Sister Tamika give us a song, and we also going to open the line up for Brother Rick for him to share. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing that, because truly that what's God want us to do on the prayer line. And Sister Power, I'm going to come back and ask you for a prayer, if you don't mind. So just give me a second. Let me open the line for Brother Rick. Brother Rick, I will open your line again. I know you didn't get a chance to share. So you can share or give your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Leola. I just wanted prayer for my family and for myself. My daughter, Ashley, I just talked to her today, and she's doing quite well, but she still hasn't committed to coming back to the Lord yet, and I just pray that prayers for her that she would make that next step. You know, God has blessed her, he had her children today with her, so she was very happy about that, and I just want her to take that next step and just commit to the Lord. And but also, Sister Brother Eugene had our presentation last Sunday, and he was talking about repentance, and I've been thinking a lot about that. And then this past Sabbath, yesterday, we had our men's meeting, which we have twice a month. Before church, we meet for an hour and a half and share, and we are talking about Christian service and how Ellen White says in the book Christian Service that not one-tenth of God's people, not many are even doing one-tenth of what they should do for God's work, and most are doing nothing. And the only way that we can get our hearts prepared to serve God and to do his work is to repent, as Brother Eugene had pointed out last week. So just praying that the Lord would lead me to that full repentance, that heartfelt hate for sin, the sin that killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I would hate sin as much as he does, so that my heart would be prepared to do the work that he calls me to do. So that is my prayer request tonight, Sister. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And I can hear that sincerity in your heart for your daughter and your family. We will lift that up in prayer. And God hear it, Brother Rick. He hears
Amen.
Everything you have on your heart. So thank you for coming on and sharing and giving your request. And I'm going to open the line for 857, and I need you to be very prompt. Brief. Be very brief, brother, because you came on at the last minute, but I want to open your line so you can share, okay? So you can share.
Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my dear sisters, brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name's Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I'd like to thank God for his grace, because he is good. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. My prayer request is to pray for my mother, lift up my mom in prayer. My mom needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola, don't forget to tell Sister Powell to lift up Sister Abby in prayer. Sister Powell, you know how you spell her name, Sister Powell. Sister Abby is A-B-B-I-E. Sister Powell, do not forget her on your prayer, because she needs a lot of prayer, Sister Powell, Sister Abby, because Sister Abby's on this prayer line. But Sister Powell, please lift up Sister Abby in prayer and pray for her family members. And Sister Powell, please lift up Sister Shamika in prayer, S-H-E-M-I-C-A. Sister Miola, can you spell it for her after I'm finished my prayer request? My other prayer request is to lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer, lift her up in prayer, pray for her daughter too, pray for Sister Kaisha, lift up Sister Kaisha in prayer, pray for Brother Taiwan, and pray for Brother Taiwan, Sister Miola, that Brother Taiwan will be Seventh-day Adventist. I'm praying for Sister Katie Ann, Sister Miola, and Sister Miola. May God bless Sister Tamiko with her ministry. May God continue to bless Sister Tamiko with her ministry.
Amen.
Everywhere she goes. God have a plan for her, Sister Miola. God will break every chain for her, Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, have faith in the Lord because he is good. He's worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for your request, and we will lift those prayers up. And brothers and sisters, Sister Tamika is on the line, and she's not with us right now. She's on a special call, so we want to lift that up in prayer. So, Sister Powell, I want to ask, Brother Akeem will not be on until probably about 7:15. So I'm going to ask Sister Powell to give us a song, and I'll just get Sister Carla, if you can pray for us, Sister Carla. So Sister Powell, can you do a song, lift us up with some praise, if you don't mind? I should have asked you, but I had Sister Tamika, and she just let me know she's on the phone. So if you can give us a song, Sister Powell, just give God the praise.
All right. Okay, I'm going. All right. The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. The gospel sermon will soon be carried to the nations round. The bridegroom then will cease to tarry, and the trumpet sound. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. Attended by all the shining angels down the flaming sky, the judge will come and take his people where they will not die. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. There those loved ones who have long been parted will all meet that day. The tears of those who are broken-hearted will be wiped away. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning, piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Yes, we want to see that Christ's going to burst that tomb. And boy, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, God is so good that, okay, just a 7:20. Okay, Brother Akeem says 8:20, brothers and sisters, so he'll be here. So we're going to go into prayers, and maybe we can get two prayers out of it. Sister Powell, will you be able to give a second prayer? I'm going to ask Sister Carla. She don't have to give a prayer. And then, hold on, Sister Powell, we're going to open Sister Carla a line. Brothers and sisters, oh, we may have. Sister Carla, just give me 1 second. Yes, give me 1 second. I don't know if my next caller, she didn't press one, but let's see if she have a prayer request. Let's see if she have a prayer request. Let us open that line first. Our sister, do you have a prayer request or would you like to share? You still have about 3 minutes if you need to share something. Sister, do you have a prayer request or would you like to share? Okay, she didn't, so let us close her line. She didn't press one, so I just thought she was wanted to share. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue on. And Sister Carla, your line is open. And can you begin with your prayer? Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, let's see. Maybe Sister Carla is not. Sister Carla, are you there? Okay, Sister Powell, I'm going to close Sister Carla's line and I'll just share a prayer. And then, Sister Powell, I'm going to open your line for you to give us a prayer also. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, and Lord, looking to you, Father, for our strength, our health, and especially, Father, knowing what the Bible says, knowing what the Word says about the dead, about all the evil that's in the world, we are to look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, and we are to study his life and what he has done for us, because Christ talked about the dead, and he the only dead that Christ said, come to him, he said he called Lazarus, but all the others, he said they were sleeping. Oh, Father, we know that we cannot allow these spirits to come to us and talk to us and say things, because the deceiver, they will deceive us. They will deceive you. And brothers and sisters, we just got to pray and talk to the Lord, and may God keep us and lead and guide us, because these things ought not to be. If the enemy has planted so many deceptions in this world, talking about your father and mother coming to you and all these lies that have been told, and this spiritualism about the Easter bunny laying eggs and all the lies of the eggs are being color and all these things that's going on in this world. Sisters and brothers, please study your Bible, Father. Allow them to study. Allow them to take the word of God at his word, because he said that he that believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So, sisters and brothers, we lift you up tonight, and may we take Christ at his word. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And he said, if you eat of this bread, you will live. So help them, Lord. Help us, Lord, Father, and that we don't take nothing for granted, Father. Lord, there's lies everywhere. Talk about Christmas and Santa. The Bible even teach you that what that Santa and that all these confusion is. And, Father, we just asking you, Lord, to just work in your children's heart with your Holy Spirit. Allow them to understand that Christ wants to dwell in our heart. And he said if we would just love him and keep his commandments, he said, and have the faith of Jesus, we would be children of God. Oh, Father, have mercy upon us tonight, Lord. Help us to seek you with all our heart. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. Lord, please don't let not one of us have anything to do with spiritualism, because we don't want no part. Because if you play around with evil, as Jesus said, when you let the fire touch your bosom, don't you think you're going to get burned? So, Father, help us, Lord. We don't need to play around with evil. And if evil habits become so, it becomes so much to where that practice and you forget of what you're doing, and these things can come in your life little by little, and the next thing you've been changed. So, Lord, Father, I pray for my sisters and brothers on the prayer line. I pray, dear Father, for my children, my grandchildren. I pray, Father, for Sister Power children, her grandchildren, her family, Father. I lift up Brother Rick. Lord, you hear my brother pleading for his daughter. Lord, Father, I know you hear the prayer. I know you're going to answer. You said that you are always on time. You may not come when we want you, but you're on time, Father. So, Lord, I know you hear Brother Rick's prayer. And, Lord, Father, he's calling prayers. He's calling on you for his wife also, for his siblings, Lord, all his grandchildren. He wants them saved, Father. So save them by your grace, Lord. And, Father, we also lift up Brother John and Sister Brenda. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, what you're doing with Brother John and him studying and learning your scriptures, Lord. Lord, you are placing your word in his heart, and he's seeking after you, Lord. He's quoting your scriptures, and he's not only just a quote or a reading, but, Lord, he's a doer of the word. And, Father, thank you that Brenda got an example in her life to follow her husband and him seeking God and searching him the word out, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I lift up Sister Carla to you, Father. Her children, Lord, they made it home safe. God, we give you all honor, praise, and glory. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And, Father, we just thank you, Father, for her and her ministry. We thank you for her with operating a prayer line. And, Lord, she's doing a mighty work, Father, for you. And, Lord, even the work on her job, bless her clients, help and give her safe traveling mercy. Lord, we ask you to keep her, protect her, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, we pray for Brother O'Neill, Lord, Father, your child, that he is out there doing ministry work. Lift him up, Lord, to you, he and his family. Father, thank you for Brother O'Neill and his ministry and even what he brings to the prayer line. Lord, Sister Katie, we lift her up to you, Father. And, Lord, Father, even though she's been sick and she's been down, but, Lord, she still give you praise. She give you thanks. She's thanking you for what you doing in her life. Lord, Father, the doctors want to try to kill her, but you know what? She heard the voice of God, and she said, let me get out of here. And she got up out of there, and she trusts in the Lord. So, Father, thank you for what Sister Katie have done. And, Lord, she's praying for her children, lifting them up to you, them grandbabies, Lord, that you are taking care. We saw what you done did for them babies, Lord, because from the beginning, they weren't supposed to make it. And now, Lord, look at them walking and talking. Thank you, Father, for what you done done. Now, Lord, we also lift up Sister Tamiko. Lord, Father, her brother Peter, we lift him up, Father. He praying for, you heard what he asked for, Lord. And, Lord, I just leave that to you to bless according to your will. Lord Father, we lift Sister Tamika and praying for her and her family, her sons, her daughter, lifting them, giving them all to you, Father, and let your will be done in their lives. And Father, we also lifting up Brother Eli to you, Father. He's praying for Shamika. Lord, I can't call all these names. His mother, Father, all these names you hear every day, every time he prays. And Father, he's just like that woman that went to that judge and request, and he said, lest I grant you this, you're going to worry me. So, Lord, that's a blessing, Brother Eli, worry you for those prayers for those brothers and sisters that they come and serve the Lord. So thank you, Father. And dear Father, I lift up, Father, to you, Sister Stephanie, Lord, a warrior, and Sister LaCole, both of those teachers, Lord, you know what they're doing in their career. Father, we're asking you to bless them and keep them and bless their children, Father. And Lord, Father, we thank you. Lord, Father, I lift up to you, Father, also, I believe I got all the names, Lord. If I miss a name, Father, Brother Udy, I lift Brother Udy and his family. Lord, I don't want to forget Brother Udy. Lord, I love Brother Udy, and he's our son. Sister Power and my son, Lord, from the beginning we took Brother Udy under our wings. We love him, Lord, so we lift him up to you. Lord, bless him and keep him and help him, Lord. Give him strength that he stand in need of. Lord, Father, there's so many others that if I miss anybody, Lord, sometimes my memory can't recall all. But, Lord, we lift them all, Brother Akeem. But Sister Powell will give the other prayers. When I forgot, Lord, Sister Powell got it. So thank you, Father. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And Sister Powell, Brother Akeem is still not on. So let me open your line so you can also offer a prayer. Amen. Let me open Sister Powell, brothers and sisters. So more prayer, more power. Amen, Sister Powell.
Amen, amen. Most righteous and eternal Father, which art in heaven, we, your children, come before your throne room this blessed evening to give you all the praise that due to you. First, we want to thank you for life. We want to thank you for health. We want to thank you for strength. We want to thank you for all our brothers and our sisters, Lord, who join and give their requests, Lord Jesus. You know every name and every request that they had presented to you. We want to thank you for the prayer from Sister Leola, Lord. Agree with everyone, every request. You know the desire. You know what they need, Lord. And you promise us that you will supply their needs according to their riches in glory. Father, I agree with all these various requests that reach up to you in the most holy sanctuary. We want to thank you, Lord, for the study, Lord, about the dead, Lord Jesus, that we will be facing at this time, dear Lord. We are the devil, the enemy is out like a roaring lion, and he is going to be deceiving and personating, Lord, our loved ones. But, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to allow us that our eyes will be open, Lord, in your word, the Holy Bible, that we can study your words and that we can know that the dead know nothing, that when these things come upon us, dear Father, we can go into the Bible with scriptures, Lord, to share and to allow them to know that our loved one know nothing if they are in the grave. Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful light that you have given unto your children. So we are asking you, dear Father, to pour your spirit upon us tonight. Lord, we pray again, Lord Jesus, for Habi, Sister Habi, and family, Lord. And this request came from Brother Eli, Lord. Lord, we know you know everything about Sister Abby and family. So we ask you to pour your sweet, sweet blessings upon them, upon her and her family, and you supply their needs according to their riches in glory. Father, Kadisha, we present her to you, dear Father. You also know their needs. So, Father, there is nothing too hard that you cannot do. Just as you said, ask and it shall be given unto us.
Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So as we believe, Lord Jesus, we are coming to you boldly to the throne tonight and asking you that all of these requests, Sister Leola requests, with all the names, Lord, on this prayer line and our brothers and our sisters and our family members, Lord, we present them to you. And we know you are in the most holy sanctuary, dear Father, doing a mighty work. Dear Lord, investigated, judgment started, Lord, and you have that book of life open. So, Heavenly Father, we are depending upon you for answer. And now, dear Lord, we present our the speaker to you, Brother Akeem. James, Lord, continue to pour your blessing. Allow us tonight, dear Lord, that we will settle in the truth, Lord, that when we hear the truth, we will settle it, we place it. Lord, it will place in our mind, Lord, that we will be able to share with others. So shower down your son, Lord, with your fresh bread from heaven, Lord, so that we all will receive it, enjoy it, dear Lord, and also share it with others. Bless us, we pray, and help us to be faithful tonight. And if there is anything we fail of asking you tonight, dear Lord, we are asking you to grant it unto us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Amen. Okay, brothers and sister, Brother Akeem is here, and we will open his line, and let us, Brother Akeem, your line is open. And, brother, you may speak now.
All right. Can you hear me?
Amen. We can hear you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, friends, we will be continuing in our study, and I'm definitely glad to be back on this evening. And I pray that as we continue to study God's word, that our hearts and minds will be blessed, that we'll be strengthened and drawn closer to Christ. And so, if you have your Bibles, let's head back to Revelation chapter 13. As I mentioned before, we've seen the different stages of the heads. We've been covering the seven heads of Revelation chapter 17, and we found out the five that are fallen, the one. Actually, let's go there in Revelation chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10. So let's check that out. It says there, Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, and here's the wisdom, here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are seven kings. The literal Greek translates it, and these are seven kings. Five are fallen. We found out who those were, spanning from the days of Daniel all the way down to the end of time. It starts off with Babylon, then Medo-Persia, thirdly, Greece, fourth, Rome, fifth, the continuation of Rome, Papal Rome, the papacy, uniting with the kings of Western Europe during the Dark Ages. And then it says, and the other is not yet come. We found out, or I should say it this way, and one is, I should say it. So five have fallen and one is, and we found out that that one that is was in reference to France, because France was the system or the empire or the nation, one of the most ardent supporters of the papacy during the Dark Ages, that came against the papal system at the end of its supremacy in 1798, took the civil power from the Pope of Rome and from the papacy itself, and took the Pope captive in 1798, and that very same Pope, Pope Pius VI, I believe, died the very next year in 1799. And so as this happened now, the one that is, the kingdom that is, was in reference to France. Under the leadership at that time of Napoleon and his general, Berthier, who took the Pope captive and took the civil power away from the papacy. So we have six powers already. And that power, by the way, the one that is highlighted in the book of Revelation a number of times. Revelation chapter 11, speaking about a power that would rise, that as it rose, it would be compared spiritually to Sodom and Egypt in the book of Revelation chapter 11. This is in actual connection to the kingdom of France, because when it rose during the time of what is known as the French Revolution, in the 1790s, what happened was that atheism was sweeping through that nation. They had become so tired of legalistic Christianity that they lumped all Christianity together. So they not only hated the false representation of Christianity, which was being promoted through the papacy, but they hated Christianity as a whole because of what the papacy had done in misrepresenting it. And so powerful, we see this mentioned a number of times in the book of Revelation. This nation, France, right here in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 10, the one that is, the kingdom that is, and then Revelation chapter 11. The kingdom of France is identified. An atheistic system that would rise up against religion because of religion oppressing people in its apostate form, right? Christianity misrepresented before the nations during the Dark Ages caused one of the most ardent supporters of that apostate religious system to rebel at the very end of the 1260 years. And so France is the one that is. So we have six so far. We have who? We have Babylon, Medo-Persia, secondly, thirdly, Greece, fourth, Rome, fifth, Papal Rome, that's the papacy, and then sixth, the kingdom that came and took the power from Papal Rome for a time. And that is the nation of France, the superpower of France, to take the power from the papacy at that time, even though the power of the papacy was already waning. To do that act requires a lot of power, and it shows you how powerful France was at that moment in its history. But at the same time that France was doing this work, another system was arising further west. And that's where we're going to focus our time today. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 11. Now we are going to see the seventh beast. The seventh beast. And so if you are with me there in your Bibles, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, let's have a word of prayer. Father, illuminate our minds and strengthen us as we continue to study this passage. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us a deeper knowledge, and not just knowledge. But Father, in some way, shape, or form, may this lead to transformation. I pray, lead to a more balanced experience. I pray, Lord, and I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. So it says, and I beheld another beast. So this is after the first beast, which is the papacy. We found out that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, there's a dragon with seven heads. Found out that that was a representation of Satan working through the Roman Empire to destroy Jesus Christ at his birth. But then the same beast is mentioned in Revelation 13:1, a beast having seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns upon his horns. That's the little difference between 12 and 13. The beast is in a different phase, but it's the same beast. The Roman Empire mentioned in chapter 12 now continues in the papacy of chapter 13. So the papacy is the kingdom or system, the religio-political power mentioned in Revelation 13 verses 1 through 10. And in verses 9 and 10, we find the death blow that was dealt to it. It says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity, that's what the papacy did for the 1260 years, shall go into captivity. That's what happened literally for the Pope, who was reigning in 1798. He was taken captive. The whole papal system was halted in its efforts, in its desires to control humanity. It was halted because the system itself was now captive to France. And he that killeth with the sword, Revelation chapter 13 shows us that, not Revelation 13, but Romans 13, from verses 1 to 4, identifies the sword spiritually as the civil power. So the sword in Scripture, yes, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12, it represents the word of God. But the sword also has another meaning depending on the context. The context here, speaking of the papacy, we know that the papacy did not use the word of God to destroy people, right? But we know that it did use the civil power. So Revelation 13, verses 9 and 10, fits more with the definition of the sword given in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. And we can read that, actually, so you guys can see it right there. So Romans chapter 13, Paul speaking to the church in Rome, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." It's very interesting. In our world today, many people believe that only if it's the people that they agree with being in power, right? Very interesting. But Paul warned the Christians. He said, even if you disagree, be careful to be subject unto the higher powers. One person will say today, hey, that's not my president. Then another person will come and say the next day, because another person is in office, hey, that's not my president. So you have it going back and forth. But we had better make sure we give heed to the very principles that Paul is laying down here. Because if we don't start a time of trouble for ourselves before the time of trouble, and there are many Seventh-day Adventists that are doing that today, they have become so politically swept away that if the person that is in office is someone that they do not like, they say, hey, you know what, that, I'm not going to respect that guy. He's not my president. And friends, while it is true that we are called not to place our trust in princes, so when either, regardless of whoever is placed in power, we must be able to say, hey, I'll pray for that individual. But friends, our work at the same time, as Paul is saying, is not just to pray, but make sure that those who are in power, when it comes to civil authority, make sure that we stand in a balanced light before them. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. And of course, the context here is if that person is not calling us to be in subjection in every point that we can, except as it comes directly against us in calling us against God's word. It says here, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist, look at what Paul says, they that resist shall receive to themselves condemnation. That's been happening. It's happened throughout history. It's been happening in recent times. All of these things have happened. Christians that could not control themselves but became so politically volatile, they gave a wrong perspective to others of the church. And so as a result, it impacts everyone negatively. Paul continues, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Can you see that? Of the power. This is in regard to the civil power. Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But here it is, listen to this. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So God has his people within the civil domain, and he has his people within the religious. The work is that while the church is called to have influence, it is to make sure that it doesn't blend the two. We must have an influence in the world, and at times, as we see in the days of our pioneers, there are times when we should advocate for laws that will be a benefit and a blessing to humanity. For example, as we know, inspiration tells us that during the time of our pioneers, and history shows us that during the time of our pioneers, they pushed when it came to temperance. and they demanded that there be laws set in place for the people that are guiding the nation, that they will be sober-minded and that they will not be allowed to make laws and guide the nation in a stupor or in drunkenness. And you guys remember, if you look back at our history concerning the prohibition of alcohol and tobacco and different things that would deaden the senses of our leaders as they sought to guide the people. And so Ellen White along teamed up and had the administrators team up with others who were part of the temperance movement to attack or to do a demonstration or a protest against people who would not want those laws to be passed. She actually wanted them to be passed to hold the leadership accountable in the making of laws. So there are times, and then there are times when we are told that there are laws that we should disobey as it concerns those laws that would attack our fellow man. For example, in the days of our pioneers, again, it was concerning racism and the manifestation of the Fugitive Slave Act. That act, the effects of which to a degree still impacts the world today, not wiped out in a generation nor multiple generations, but that act, we were told that Ellen White cautioned the church not to listen to that fugitive slave law, to disregard it, what we would call today civil disobedience. And so there is a time, but we must make sure that we are being led by the Word of God and the Spirit so that we make sure that we do not stand in a, what is that word, that we do not stand in an unbalanced light before the people. Lest the sword stand against us. That's the civil power. So now going back to Revelation chapter 13, we now see that the sword represents the civil power. So when it says here in verse 9, if any man concerning the papacy, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity, that's the papacy, shall go into captivity. That's what happened at the end of the 1,260 years. And he that kills with the sword, that is, with the civil power. And friends, that makes sense, right? Because that's what the papacy used in order to kill people during the Dark Ages. The papacy of itself, yes, instituted religious principles and dogmas and traditions, but the only way that they were enabled to enact those laws and cause it to be enforced upon the people of Europe at that time was because they had the support of the civil leaders of Europe, Western Europe. And so this is why now it says he that kills with the sword, in other words, the papacy that used the civil power to force people and to kill them if they would not worship according to the traditions that were made, that same power, the papacy, would be killed with the sword. And that just makes sense because France, a civil power, Great Controversy tells us it was the most ardent supporter of the papacy. That same civil power turned against the papacy at the end of the 1,260 years. Here, therefore, God says, is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, hold on, continue to hold on until that death blow came, until in 1798. But while this was happening, in this war between France and the papal system, ultimately France winning, while this was happening, another power was rising in another part of the world, further west. And that power is mentioned in verse 11. Friends, this is the seventh head of which Revelation chapter 17 and verse 10 tells us, and the other is not yet come. And when he is come, he must continue for a short space of time. That power is the power of Revelation 13:11 onward. The beast that rises up out of the earth is the seventh beast. And his purpose, he rises for a short time to fulfill a certain work, especially when that power is not under the guidance of God, right? And remember, it's not just that it's not under the guidance of God. We're going to see who it's under the guidance of. Because many Christians, let me not even say many Christians, let me bring it home. Many Seventh-day Adventists are thinking that it is a secular power that is going to be in control at the end and render power back to the papacy. And friends, that is a blend of evangelical theology with Seventh-day Adventism, and that's not what we want. The Bible tells us that in the end of time, the way that the papacy will rise to worldwide dominance again is through a power that claims to be Protestant. So when you are looking for the end time attack, do not look for it to come from the immorality in the LGBTQ community and agenda. And notice I said immorality, because what I'm saying is that while there are aspects of secularism that is wrong and is a sign of the times, it is not what is going to bring about the Sunday law. It is not what is going to bring about the supremacy of the papacy. Once again, it is a Protestant power. The very power that stood against the papacy is what is going to give it power in the end. This is why we must be careful where we are looking. This is how I stated. The first person I'm looking at is Jesus Christ. Second to Jesus Christ, I'm looking at the people. I'm looking at, of course, myself in connection with the people of God. Are we taking daily introspection of our lives that we may stand right before God and allow him to perfect our characters so that the final events can go forth with such rapidity that we can't even imagine it? And then after the people of God, so after Jesus and the people of God, the next place I'm looking is not at the papal system in Rome. The next place I'm looking is at Christianity in America. That's where I'm looking. Why? Let's go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 11. So after France does this death blow to the papacy by taking away its civil power, it says in verse 11, another power is rising, and I beheld another beast. Daniel 7:23, a beast represents a nation, a kingdom, a political system, right? But check this out, coming up out of the earth. So it's rising as even the papacy received the death blow in the verse before. And historically, that was the case once we understand who this power is. And I beheld another kingdom, a system, political system, rising up out of the earth. And he had, notice this, this is what gives it away. So it's a political system, but we're going to see what is driving this political system. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So let's uncover these symbols. Two horns. Go back with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. And let's check out Daniel chapter 8 verse... let's go to verse 20, all right? Verse 20. Speaking of the kingdoms of Medo-Persia and Greece. Medo-Persia, followed by the Greek Empire, it represents it under the symbolism of two beasts. What are those beasts? Verse 20. It was a ram and a goat, a he-goat. Now notice what it says about the ram. It says, and the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. So that's the Medo-Persian Empire. But notice how the horns are represented. It's represented as the divisions of this kingdom, the nation of the Medes and the nation of the Persians. Those were the two powers that, of course, made up the Medo-Persian Empire. So we're seeing now here what horns represent. Horns represent powers, governing powers. The Medes, in this case, and the Persians. The kingdom of the Medes and the kingdom of the Persians united, the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, just in case we think this is just a one-time thing, it then continues by saying, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. That's Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So you see that? So it's the governing power or the leader of that kingdom. So it represents, horns represent governing powers or leaders, kings. All right? So the question now is, Revelation chapter 13, we find in verse 11 a beast that has two governing powers. So two governing powers in this kingdom or system or whoever this nation is. And notice it's rising historically at the same time when the papacy received its wound and France was a leading power. So this power is rising around that time historically. And friends, it says of this power, it would have two governing powers to guide it. And in that governing process, it would look like a lamb. The horns would be lamb-like. It's not necessarily that the beast is, but it had two horns like a lamb. So two governing powers that would cause you to think it's what? That would cause you to think it's Christian. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John calls Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So we're looking at a kingdom rising up during the time when the papacy received its deadly wound, rising at the time when France was a leading power in the world, rising around that same time, and a kingdom that would have, as it's rising, two governing powers that would cause you, in the operation of these two horns, to make you think that the nation was Christian. This nation that was rising was Christian. That it was following Christ. But it says, and he spake as a dragon. That means the only way that a nation can speak is through its laws. So in other words, while it gave the appearance of being Christ-like, it was draconian in nature from its very beginnings. Notice it says, but he spake as a dragon. That means it's not going in the future. Notice that. Yes, it would do major things in the future, but notice that word spake. Spake. Not will speak. That's how many, many evangelists have thought this thing. They've taught it as there's something that's coming. And while this is true, as we keep reading all the way to the end of this chapter, the Bible does not cover this, whoever this nation is, at the end only. It covers its beginnings. And that it's in its beginnings, laws would come out of this nation as it's rising. While the papacy lost its power and France's power was there, it would be making laws and systems within itself that would be draconian in nature. And that's powerful. Because, friends, the only nation rising up at the time when France was the leading power, attacking the papacy and taking away its power, France itself giving whoever this nation, which we're about to discover in verse 11, actually giving this nation the very symbol of its power. Friends, this power was none other, a nation that appeared to be Christian, but was really dragon-like from its very inception. Friends, this nation rose further west, and it is a reference to the United States of America. The two powers, or the two horns that would govern this nation, that would cause it to appear like it was Christ-like, was this concept of republicanism. Because those, get this, those who were trying to push the nation forward, they weren't the ones who were here first, but those who came here and tried to push the nation forward were not pagans, friends. It was not people who said, I don't know who Jesus is, I don't know God. Friends, it was Christians, crazy enough, Christians who were fleeing persecution themselves, who came to this nation. And as they came to the Americas, they sought to build the nation. So they were trying to build the nation with Christian or moralist undertones. The idea of moralist is because even some of the founding, or many of the founding fathers, I would say, while some, yes, had Christian backgrounds, some were also, in a sense, deist, meaning they were taking biblical principles, but they saw the Bible more than a supernatural book. They saw it as a moral book. So it had Christian undertones because they were taking principles from Scripture even though they didn't really believe that God was involved, super involved in their lives, they were moralistic principles from the Word of God, which while they did not believe in its supernatural essence, they believed that, okay, this book has something to offer us. And so they took those principles and sought to make it the undertones of the nation later on. But one of the ways that this happened at first was that Christians were fleeing persecution in Great Britain from the Church of England. And the group that was fleeing were entrepreneurs that were combined with a group known as the Christian Separatist Church, because they had separated from the Church of England in its apostasy, because it was an inversion or a different way of ruling, the exact opposite than the papacy itself ruled. The Church of England, unlike the papacy, the king at that time sought to control the nation and sought to control the Church of England itself. So the Church of England became a political church, because the king himself sought to have control over religious matters. So it was a flip of what the papacy was doing. The papacy, a church, sought to control the kings. But this was a flip. The king, the monarch, was seeking to control the church. An idea called monarchical absolutism, I believe it is called. So the king thought he was above correction. And so in that situation, friends, because the separatist brethren saw that as apostasy, they fled because they were being persecuted. They fled to the Americas. And as they came here, they sought to build. But here's the issue. So now these Christians fleeing persecution came here, and they were seeking to build in land that in many cases already belonged to other people, by the way. So they came here, and as they came here, they sought to spread the Christian influence. And as they sought to spread the Christian influence, they became like the very dragon they were fleeing. The monster that they were fleeing from in Great Britain, they started to become like. So what we're seeing here is that the driving force in the beginnings was Christian influence, but they became so intense. The Puritans were so intense, friends. They were hardworking people. But they were so intense that if they sensed a witch among them, or if they sensed that people were not following the principles of the Word of God, friends, it would not be that they would do church discipline and say, hey, you know, you may have to come away from us. You may not be able to gather with us. No, friends, they went further than that and said, hey, if you continue doing this, you may very well suffer at our hands death. Now, friends, it continued historically. Historically, what would end up happening was that there were some who would see the craziness of that, like Roger Williams and others, and they would fight for this concept known as the concept of the two horns. And that is the concept of, hey, we ourselves as Christians were fleeing persecution. How can we then come here and force men to worship as we please? How can we come here and treat those who are already here as though they were outcasts? How can we do this? And so there were men who rose up who began to fight for this concept of separating the religious and the civil, the concept we know today as the separation of church and state, a separation, friends, which many Christians in the evangelical world are trying to get rid of. There are articles that I've been reading over the past few days, and I am shocked, blown away, that people within Christian circles and evangelical circles are saying today without any apology that this concept of church and state being separate is foolish. And so they are fighting to remove that separation. This is how it was in the very beginning. In the very beginning of the movement of this nation rising, this American experiment, friends, that was there. That issue was there. And so men said, no, we need to have these two governing powers, but they need to remain separate. Republicanism, a nation without a king, and the church, the state, Protestantism, a church without a pope. But friends, what we're going to see as we continue in our study is that there will come a time where this very Protestantism that arose and stood vehemently against the papacy during the Dark Ages will one day join the papacy. Protestantism in this nation, the seventh head of Revelation 17, will one day join the state. They will one day fight so intensely that they will remove the separation between church and state. And at that time, Christianity in America, this is why it is very scary when I see Seventh-day Adventists begin to take on the ideas of Christianity and thinking that it's a secular power that is going to bring about the end game. No, friends. It is Christians fighting for the obliteration of the line between church and state that are going to bring about the end time issues. Friends, it was not Gentiles who brought Jesus to Rome. It was apostate religious leaders who brought Jesus to Rome to be crucified. They brought Jesus to Gentiles, that those Gentiles might crucify him. In the same way, it is apostate religion at the end of time. Not homosexuals, not the LGBTQ community, not Black Lives Matter. None of these things are going to bring an end. None of these things are going to bring about the last great crisis. It is not secularism nor secularistic ideology. Yes, for sure, the world is going to come into the church. But it is going to look like, what is going to look like is when the church, a religious entity, begins to take hold of when the image of the beast will be formed. That's when. I'm not saying to not look out for the other things that I mentioned. There are definitely dark things in those initiatives that I mentioned before, in secularism, definitely. But it is not the main end time player. After Christ, after the people of God, the next power that we should be looking at is not even the papacy, because the papacy is not going to be revived to the power that it had during the Dark Ages until Christianity in America makes an image to the papacy. I see many people looking at the papacy today. They're looking, the Pope ties his shoes. Seventh-day Adventists begin to make videos on it. The Pope says a certain thing, Seventh-day Adventists begin to make videos on it. Friends, the end time scenario that we read in the book of Revelation 13 is not going to happen until Christianity unites with the papacy. First, uniting with the civil power in this nation. And that's what it's coming to. It's coming. I tell you the truth, friends, it's coming. The very powers that many Seventh-day Adventists are beginning to sympathize with and beginning to rearrange prophecy to unite with is the very power that is going to make an all-out assault to make sure that the state unites with it. Once that happens, the image of the beast is formed. And when that is formed, it will be an image to the first beast. A system where church and state are united, which will then glorify the papal system in how it worked during the Dark Ages. And when that happens, it is then that we will see the papacy rise to a power greater than it possessed even during the Dark Ages itself. Friends, and that time is coming. With some of the articles that I've been reading, I'll try to share some of it with you next week. But some of the articles that I've been reading have blown my mind. And this is why I say to us as we end, I'm going to leave it off on a high note. That's why we have to be careful with how we view this COVID thing. Because many are calling it a test run. But friends, I agree it's a test run, but it's very different than what I see many Seventh-day Adventists, even present truthers, thinking, and I'll show you it next week. This is why I brought up that point about being careful in how we relate to the government, because I've been warning my friends, I've been saying, be careful how you view this issue, because if you view it in an unbalanced way as, man, you know, Bill Gates is trying to kill us all, and you're going on YouTube and you're seeing all of these videos and you're like, man, the government is trying to take us out. They're trying to depopulate the world. And then you start going on an extreme binge to where the government then begins to view Seventh-day Adventists as radicals. And we start bringing a time of trouble on ourselves before the time of trouble. What begins to happen, friends, is what you're going to see next week. I'm going to bring an article for you guys, and it's going to blow your minds away. I sent it to one of my friends. I said, brother, look at this. This is what happens when we view things in the wrong light. Friends, be prepared for next week. Don't miss it. You don't want to miss next week as we cover more on the seventh beast and how it will prepare the way for the third. Or I should say the eighth beast. The seventh head, which is the seventh beast, which will prepare the way for the eighth beast. So now, as we close, we have seven of those heads now unlocked. We have Babylon 1, Medo-Persia 2, Rome 3, Greece 3, Rome 4, the Papacy 5, France 6, United States 7. And we're going to continue in this vein with the United States, Protestantism uniting with the state to give power to the papacy next week. Friends, you don't want to miss it. There's an article I'll be bringing. Stay tuned. But for now, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, that you may continue to guide us. Lord, I know that some of the things that I said tonight may have touched some toes and may have made some people very frustrated. But Lord, may we be able to love each other nonetheless and at least hear what each other has to say, even though we may strongly disagree. But Lord, we know what we do have, though. We have the more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed. There's a light that shineth in a dark place. Until that day star rises and shines in our hearts, the day star of Jesus Christ. May we make sure that as we move forward in these times, that we have a proper understanding of the prophetic narrative that you have given us so plainly. Help us to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and is the light of the world. Do this for us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are grateful to this information. And Brother Akeem, I'm not offended by you telling us be careful. And you know, I'm glad to know that, because it's not that I'm pulling back or fearful, but that makes sense. So the Bible tells us to watch and pray. So that is our duty, to watch and pray. So brothers and sisters, as we are closing, let us just say a word of prayer, and we're going to close for tonight. We thank Brother Akeem. I don't want to call him Akeem because I have a nephew named Akeem. But Brother Akeem, I'm sorry for always pronouncing your name wrong. But
that's all right.
We
that's
thank
all right.
you. Yes, we thank you for bringing this message, because the warning, that's what God says. If you see the watchman, if the watchman don't warn the people, well, God said, my blood is required at your hand. So by God's grace, you are warning. Don't start nothing that you're not prepared for. So by God's grace, we appreciate that. So let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, most gracious and holy Father, we come before you once again to thank you for the warning that your servant has given to us, which you call your watchman. He has given to us to warn us, don't be such a rush, a push to make things happen before it happens. So, Father, we thank you for such a blessing and that we can just watch and pray and wait and as the Lord is preparing us. So, Father, for each and every one of us that's on this prayer line, Lord, I pray that we, as we absent from one another, let us be in prayer and keep your name, and that we all would live according to your word. You say, be ye holy as I am holy. So, Father, help us. Lord, we can't be nothing without you. So we're thanking you tonight for what you're doing with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, and may God bless each and every one, and you all have a blessed night. Thank you once again, Brother Akeem, and you be good, be blessed also. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today.